Hey, welcome to IKEA, where even this desk is circular.
Huh. How so? Looks pretty rectangular to me.
It's because we're always looking to repair, reuse, and relove our products, like buying back your IKEA items for store credit. Or shop our as-is section for great deals. You can even order free spare parts. Get on the circular path for a more sustainable future.
Still a rectangle.
Get started at IKEA-USA.com/circular. Visit IKEA-USA.com/circular for as-is information and buyback and resale terms and conditions. Spare parts not available for all products.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
Hey girls, Maria Menounos here, author of The Every Girl's Guide to Life. Want to know my best tips and secrets for organization, travel, weight loss, beauty, fashion, and everything else in between? Go to bing.com/Maria and pick up my new book, The Every Girl's Guide to Life.
You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment. From the AfterBuzz studios in Los Angeles, California, and streaming live on Ustream, this is AfterBuzz TV for the Real Housewives of New York City. Tonight's host is Mari Fagel. Joining Mari will be AfterBuzz co-hosts Phil Svitek and Deidre Bayer. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest Real Housewives news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, picking up where the show leaves off, and the buzz continues, Mari Fagel!
Hi, everyone. I can't wait to get into the show tonight with drama, drama, drama,
Mari,
reconciliations, more fights.
Mari, can you hear me?
And, yeah,
hello?
I can hear you. What's up?
I'm going to yell at you, Mari. Why are you trying to keep me on the show when you have Jackie?
That's exactly what I was about to say. I was going to say, instead of Phil the Thrill Svitek tonight, we have Jackie joining us, which no offense, Phil, I have to say, Jackie is much better tuned to discussing the drama.
I'm taking
the
offense that I was included
in
the intro and Jackie wasn't. How about that? I'm very mad,
okay,
so
you,
I'm walking
you had a
away.
Great effort in the beginning, Phil, and I'd love you to chime in this episode. I'd like to hear.
No, I'm not chiming in. I refuse
to.
You guys are the triple threat. You guys have everything covered. I have nothing to add. I would only detract. So I leave it in all three of your hands to cover this episode.
Fair enough.
So we are the Charlie's Angels of the Real Housewives.
We really are.
Okay, well, I can't wait to get into it all. Before we get into it, I want to mention a little book called Maria Menounos' Every Girl's Guide to Life. And by little, I mean big, because it is in its third week on the New York Times bestseller list. And that is a huge feat for a self-help book. And so pick it up. It's great for graduation, which is right around the corner. Great for girls, for guys, and a great read overall. But let's get into the show with our triple threat. Okay, so what did you guys think of Jill's return?
I think Jill, she kind of took me by surprise, and only because, like we kind of discussed last week, we thought that Jill was slowly inching away from the show. Her coming back, I mean, she seemed to be, you know, in good spirits, and she was having lunch with the ladies like she always does. I was surprised by Jill a little bit.
I was surprised. First of all, I'm sorry if I'm the Ramona of the after show here, kicking Phil off the after show. I'm causing my own drama. But I do have a good time chatting with you ladies. And I agree, Jill surprised me and also made me laugh, because I love how within 2 seconds she was right back to same old drama, gossip, and I really thought she was going to stick to her guns a little bit and stay out of the drama for at least a little while.
Exactly. It was like she comes back from Australia, she joins lunch with Luann, Sonia, and Kelly, and she immediately says, "This is a fresh start. I'm not going to get involved in gossip anymore." And the second they bring up Ramona, she gets right back to the drama and claims it sucked her back. And really, I think this was just a Ramona hate fest. She was, first of all, okay, we'll get into the whole Ramona hate fest, but with Sonia's impression of Ramona, not the most dead-on impression you've seen.
It was legitimately, it literally had me, like, in hysterics. It's like she had studied tape of Ramona and completely just reenacted her to a T. It was ridiculously hysterical.
Deirdre, I have to say, I thought you had the best impression of Ramona, but Sonia takes the case. She truly embodied her perfectly.
She really did. I have to agree with you on that.
A new equation for switching on outcomes is here from PwC. It's human-led and tech-powered. It's PwC with Oracle, SAP, Salesforce, and Workday. It's PwC with Microsoft, AWS, and Google. Simplify your systems and amplify your results. Switch on outcomes with PwC and their alliances. Learn more at pwc.com.
I need a little bit of work. Maybe I need to study Sonia.
We're going to have to do, like, a Ramona impression competition and face you off with Sonia and see who does it better.
Honestly, let's do that in the future. If we can hook it up with Sonia, I would love to go head-to-head with her.
But it was a huge hate fest. First, they get into Ramona and Cindy and the wedding, and Jill, though she claims not to want to gossip, keeps saying she brings grown women to tears. She's the only woman who can make the bride cry. She leaves dead bodies everywhere. Was it not a Ramona hate fest that lunch?
It was completely let's bash Ramona today, sort of a centric lunch. I think it was a little extreme saying she leaves dead bodies everywhere, because at the end of the day, my impression of Ramona is not that she's a bad person. I just think she just does things and she doesn't really think before. And you know, I don't think she means any malice, but they really were just having at it, you know, saying she leaves dead bodies everywhere, which is a little ridiculous in my opinion.
Right. Well, I agree with Jill where she can't expect people to, you know, be hit with her direct approach that she uses on people and expect them to get over it as quickly as she does. But absolutely, Ramona did not deserve. I would like to see what Ramona thought of that lunch, because that was a little harsh, I have to say.
And I'd actually like to see what Ramona thinks of Sonia's impression, because they're close friends. And I mean, it was a dead-on impression. I don't know if she'd be offended by that. She basically was saying, "You're not making any sense," and, like, pulling out all the Ramona lines. I wonder what she thinks of that impression.
It's like, whose team are you on, Sonia? Because she claims to be Ramona's pal, and then she, you know, without jumping the gun, later in the episode, she talks about how Ramona's the queen bee. But then to poke fun at your friend at lunch and sort of gang up on her with all these other ladies, I think that's a little counterproductive at the same time, you know?
Right. Well, I think
show like this.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, go on.
Well, I think out of everybody, even though Sonia imitated her, at least hers felt the most lighthearted. I feel like everybody else really, you know, Kelly calling her a masochist and Jill's comments and Luann even. I think out of everybody, Sonia, even though she impersonated her, was the least hard on Ramona there.
Yeah, that is a good point.
Yeah. But in a show like this, it's hard to tell where the loyalties lie, and they switch so fast. Though I will say, and we'll talk about this later in the episode, I think that division between brunettes versus blondes is getting a lot more clear as the season progresses.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that, right?
Absolutely. And I think this is the build-up.
Can we talk about the drunk text really quickly?
The build-up.
Yes, and the drunk text and Kelly, you know, saying she felt threatened. Did you guys think she should have felt threatened from that text?
In my opinion, I think it's highly inappropriate, especially when you're a woman who's Ramona's age. And I'm not sure of this, but I think Ramona's in her 50s. Is she not? I think she's in her mid-50s.
Yeah, she is.
Okay, let's be a little more mature. I know my mom certainly wouldn't be sending out drunk texts at 1:30 in the morning on a Saturday to a friend of hers that she might have had a conflict with. But, you know, to Ramona's credit, she did later in the episode, again, without jumping the gun, she did apologize for that, which is admirable. But
I don't see the big deal. All she said was, if you don't support me, then I can't support you. What's the big deal there? That's a fair statement.
Right. I mean, I have to agree with Sonia, who says it's not like she left a horse head in your bed. It's a little immature. I mean, granted, if you're in your 20s and you're at a bar and you're drunk texting, you know, that's not Ramona. She probably shouldn't be drunk texting. I agree with you there, Deidre. But I don't really think it was that the text contents was that really harsh, you know, or anything that Kelly should have really felt threatened by.
I think you kind of have to know who you're dealing with. And obviously, Kelly is one of the more sensitive ladies on the cast. Send her the drunk text, I think out of everybody, of course, she takes it more personally than maybe anybody else. But again, I think it just goes back to me personally. My approach to dealing with conflict is I always just try to be as mature as I can. And, you know, drunk text at 1:30 in the morning, I think are completely avoidable. Send her a message on Sunday afternoon saying, hey, I know we have an issue. Let's go grab a cup of coffee and let's go talk about it. The drunk text for me, not working.
Right.
Well, that's what they, in fact, did go do finally. They went to lunch. It was Kelly and Ramona and Sonia as the buffer, which I was preparing for a big showdown with Sonia being a buffer there. But it really was. It was calm. It was classy. And I have to say, I was very impressed by Ramona. As you mentioned, Jackie, she apologized for the text. She said it was childish. It was selfish. It was immature. She apologized for the way Kelly felt on the trip to St. John's and said that, I'm sorry, you felt I didn't have your back, but that was my intention. What did you guys think of Ramona at that lunch?
That was the shocker of the season for me. I was expecting, just like you said before, I was expecting literally guns blazing, like hurling insults at one another from across the table. But to my surprise, I saw Kelly wearing, how they described it? Kelly dressed uptown, Ramona dressed downtown to please one another. I thought that was very cute and a sign of maturity and progress and moving in the right direction. Ramona owning up to some of the more hurtful things that she's done, I definitely give her points in that department.
Right. I think, honestly, Kelly, as they say, is not good with confrontation. So if anybody was going to throw down, it would have been Ramona. And I think Sonia obviously was an effective buffer because the lunch went great and, you know, it was some real progress. And while I liked that they did dress for each other, the only thing that I didn't agree with was Ramona's outfit in that scene, because her intentions might have been good, but I do think the outfit was too young for her and a little bit wrong in my eyes.
Oh,
but
my God.
Other than that,
I could have died looking at a 55-year-old woman in a pleated short leather skirt. Ridiculous, right?
Right, right.
Yeah, Kelly played up uptown way better than Ramona did downtown.
100%.
Right. Kelly wins that competition for sure. And it was a Ralph Lauren blazer, which I think I called last week because I just love that blazer on Kelly. So she definitely wins in that category.
I wanted to ask you guys your opinion of Sonia feeling the need to be there. Did you guys think that was necessary to have a social buffer at a mature, middle-aged woman's sort of resolution lunch?
I think it's Sonia being Sonia again, like liking to inject herself into the drama, wanting to be in the middle of everything and to be the center of attention, kind of like when we saw with the gay marriage walk, like it was about her and not about the issues. And so I think she wanted to be the champion to say, I brought them together. And so I think that's what it was about. She really didn't need to be there, as we saw.
So at the end of the day, you think her intentions were good?
I'm not sure if her intentions were good. But as you said, Mari, that's Sonia's MO. I mean, I'm not surprised that she was there, that she somehow found a way to include herself in that.
Exactly. But we were saying how, I guess I was a little disappointed that there was no guns blazing at that lunch, no drama. But in the very next scene, that was enough drama for the episode. I loved this. The tea between Sonia and Cindy, and before we get into drama, I just have to mention, just because Sonia cracks me up, so her butler is a Latin dancer, and when Cindy starts dancing with him, she says, this is not what one does with one's staff when one comes over. I love what she does, what she says. She's just priceless.
I agree.
That was almost like the Countess coming out in her. It was very like a slap on the wrist and sort of an indicator of the conversation to come. And again, she owns it. She owned that line. It was hysterical.
It was hysterical, but I had an issue with that, largely because even if you are privileged enough to have, quote, staff working for you, you know, the guy is a Latin dancer, and clearly it's what he likes to do. And Cindy was very cute and very open about, oh, let's start, you know, tangoing or whatever they were doing. And he didn't seem to have a problem with it. He was receptive. It was Sonia who was very quick to shoot her down and was trying to come from a place of like, ooh, high society, and please don't talk to my staff. They're here to serve me. They're not here to make jokes. And I took a little bit of an issue with that because, come on, let's treat people equally. And, you know, she wasn't interrogating the man or doing anything inappropriate. They were just, you know, having childish little tango session. I did not see an issue with that at all.
But the thing is, the reason why she said that is because, which Jackie, you can tell me if you agree with this, but she was pissed that Cindy went behind her back and told Kelly about her plan to get Ramona and Kelly back together, and she was pissed.
Absolutely. I think, you know what, I really have to give Sonia credit because, again, not somebody I may be friends with in person, but she owns up, she is direct, and she owns up to when she's thinking something and she wanted to call Cindy out. She really gave Cindy a run for her money and called her out face to face, you know, didn't skirt around the issue, was direct with her about it. And Cindy called her a bitch, but you know what? She's right. She addressed her directly on it, and I probably would have done the same thing, actually.
I love how Bravo included the actual footage of Cindy Cindy outing Sonia to Kelly at Luann's house.
That was great.
That was brilliant. Great. Yeah, and I mean, she was caught red-handed.
That's the thing with reality TV. Like, it's clear she's lying when she claimed that she never said that Ramona was coming, and that she just gave her a heads up not to bring her kids. Why even? It's like with these women, I wonder, why are you even lying? You're on a reality TV show. You know it's caught on camera. Why are you lying? You're just going to get caught in the web of lies.
Totally. She was just burying herself further in the hole. And for a second, I was like, oh, maybe let me give her the benefit of the doubt. Maybe she didn't actually say that. But then, of course, Bravo reverts back to that, you know, black and white footage. And sure enough, Cindy was wrong. And she definitely lied on TV, which doesn't come across well in my book.
Right. So what do you guys think of her approach? Basically, I feel like the way Sonia handled Cindy was by being incredibly demeaning, which I understand that Cindy is younger and the new castmate. But she came off so demeaning. You know, I have years of experience in society, and I've seen women like Cindy come and go. And then when she goes on and discusses the pecking order, and no one would be there or know you if it, no one, you wouldn't be there and no one would know you if it weren't for Ramona, and there's a pecking order and you need to follow it.
Well, I'm all for giving credit where credit's due. And if Cindy is a part of a crew because one person or another introduced her to the group, you know, I think that that's great. And you should obviously respect your friends and treat them in a respectful and dignified manner. However, my big issue was the extremely condescending manner in which Sonia was talking to Cindy. It was kind of like what we talked about last week, how it feels like it's high school. And she was talking to Cindy as though Cindy needs to be sucking up to the popular girl to eat with them at the cool lunch table. And I think Cindy is a cool downtown chick who has got two kids and a really successful business. She's got bigger fish to fry. She doesn't need to be, you know, catering to Ramona's every whim in order to be a part of this new crew of people. What did you think, Jackie?
Well, I think, you know, I want to say that I agree with that totally, and a lot of that I do agree with. I do agree Sonia was condescending, and that I didn't like, and there was really no need for the Pinot Grigio comparison. I mean, that kind of ruined it a little bit. But, you know, it's almost like giving Cindy that initiation, and, you know, it's a game for them. And she's saying, get in the game, and I kind of agree with her for calling Cindy out on that, because
Cindy acts like she's above it, but in reality, she walked right into it with doing this in the first place. So I do think she needed a talking to, but I do agree that it was slightly condescending. I would have liked a better approach from Sonya, but I agree with what Sonya was, the overall message of saying, calling her out on what she did.
I do agree with
the
you
thing
on
is,
sorry, go ahead.
Sonya is so bitchy, but you know what? I love it, and I love her for it, and her comments are so priceless that she pulled it off well, and it's like, I'd rather have, like you were saying, like a bitch who's, you were saying that you liked her honesty, and I'd rather have someone who's a bitch to your face than behind your back, you know?
Completely. It was just the comments that I thought were a little self-congratulatory that sort of put me off. I think she said something like, you know, Kelly and Ramona respect me, and I was an amazing social buffer at their lunch. You know, she says a lot of these things, giving herself pats on the back. But, you know, like you said, Mari, she's honest, and you have to respect the honesty at the end of the day, whether you like it or not.
Right, and the fact that she owns it makes you just agree with her. You can't, you know she's being bitchy, but you can't help but love it because she owns it.
Totally, and that's kind of how I used to feel about Bethany Frankel. She wasn't exactly the nicest girl on the block, but she definitely owned up to her sarcastic and quick-witted little comments that she would say, and I like that same quality about her, too.
So is Sonya the new Bethany?
I mean, I think she's definitely in the running. I would say she's definitely got the best one-liners out of all the ladies this season.
And then Luann has the second best one-liners.
Oh my gosh, I know. Luann talking about the Mary Kay party. That definitely was one of my favorite quotes of the episode.
Yes, definitely. And I have to say, Sonya is emerging as one of my, whether it's a love-to-hate relationship or not, she's emerging as one of my favorite characters. So she's doing something right.
Totally.
Jackie, I totally agree with you. Sonya is probably my favorite this season. But can we talk about the Pinot Grigio issue?
Oh my God.
I don't understand it. I do not understand what the big deal is, and it's laughable. It's ridiculous. Basically, so at the party last week, at Cindy's party in Quag, there was no Pinot Grigio, which, gasp, no Pinot Grigio for Ramona. Like, am I wrong to think that this is so petty and it's no big deal?
Absolutely not. I agree with you 100% on that. When Sonya said during the Cindy confrontation that you need to have a glass of Pinot Grigio ready in your hand waiting for Ramona by the time she walks up to the party, I think that's just completely absurd. Your party, your catering choices. If you don't have Pinot Grigio there, then I'm sure there's something else that your guests can enjoy. But it's like it's Pinot Gate 2011. It must have gotten brought up 12 times in the episode. I think, like Luann said, enough is enough. Drop the Pinot Grigio nonsense.
I agree. Just the sheer amount of times you heard the words Pinot Grigio was annoying enough in itself.
It was.
It probably could have made a great drinking game for that episode every time it was said.
Totally. Oh my gosh, we have to do that next week. Every time they say Pinot Grigio.
Seriously, it was so awkward. This episode, it was like a joke. It was like, oh my God, are we talking about this again? Like, how is it able to be brought up into almost every single conversation in this episode?
Apparently, Ramona really does have a very special relationship if it caused this much of a ruckus. Just from personal experience, I've never shown up at a party and complained about a certain beverage not being available. So I don't understand where it's coming from on Ramona's part.
Right. Well, Sorry, go ahead, Mari.
Go on. I was going to talk about the Pinot more, but let me get your opinion.
No, that's what I was going to say. It comes up yet again at their party and at her jewelry party. And I guess we learned that, and we knew this, that she sells or makes Pinot Grigio. And, of course, that whole conversation was another great conversation between Luann and Ramona. I don't know if you want to take that, Mari, with the jewelry party.
Just because she can't pronounce Venice or the town in Venice. What was it, Veneto?
I think Ramona said Veneto and Luann said it's Veneto or something like that. Like her pronunciation wasn't super, super off. But of course, Luann went into countess mode and wanted Ramona to have some fancy schmancy Italian accent when Ramona's clearly not Italian. So I was able to cut her a little bit of a break on that. That wasn't a huge issue to me.
Right.
And you know what we saw once again here was the fact that
the cameras don't lie, and the cameras catch things. So, you know how Luann and Ramona were talking about Ramona's actions at Cindy's party by going up to her brother right then and there, and Luann and Ramona was like, you told me to go up to him at the party. I followed your advice. And then, once again, another flashback by the Bravo editors, another black and white flashback, and she specifically said, don't do it at the party. So it's like, I don't understand. These women, I guess they just forget, but, like, it's on camera, so you're going to get caught.
Totally. And, you know, what happened was that Luann had told her, you know, oh, you can confront him, just make sure you do it in a respectful and nice manner. And of course, Ramona didn't adhere to any of that advice. But Ramona saying to her, you told me to do it. For goodness sake, you're 55 years old. If she tells you to go run off a bridge naked, are you going to do that too? Like, I hate to use that cliche example, but, you know, use your own judgment, especially when you're dealing with a sensitive issue.
Right. Well, I think Ramona really just believes herself. I mean, it wasn't as clear cut. She didn't say, don't do it at the party, but she was implying that, of course, with Luann, with her advice. But I think Ramona really just believes what she wants to hear. So I almost feel that she believed herself when she said that with that particular flashback.
Totally. She's got too much Pinot in her system, and she just believes whatever her little head tells her.
Right. So let's talk about the Pinot one more time. Unfortunately, one more time, the Pinot Grigio issue rears its head again at Cindy and Ramona's apparent reconciliation lunch, which wasn't much of a reconciliation at all.
At all.
Basically, Cindy goes into it with the right attitude. She's like going in to tell her to tell Ramona what's upsetting her, and she's trying to be more open. And Ramona keeps giving her these weird looks. But sometimes with Ramona, I can't tell if that's her face or if that's an intentional look, because her eyes are so wide, right? Like, sometimes I just can't tell the difference.
Oh, completely. Completely. Sometimes she gives you the eyes without even intentionally doing so.
Right. Sometimes it looks like her sexy eyes from the runway walk, which we're, I guess, going to see again next week.
Oh, I cannot wait.
She just has that
anytime
widest eye look.
Seriously,
can you guys hear me?
Can you guys hear me?
Hi.
Oh, I can hear you. Okay, I'm having a little.
All right, we're gonna cut to a commercial bumper, and we'll be back after these messages.
Want to find out what the AfterBuzz is about?
Janice is a drama queen.
This is the divide that is going to carry the series.
Give us a call. 424-256-1729.
424-256-1729.
It's television, and they want it to be as dramatic as possible.
I mean, it's Shakespearean.
You never know what goes on behind closed doors.
Find out why AfterBuzz TV is the number one source for after-show content.
Now, in the eyes of Jimmy, Nucky is a villain.
424-256-1729. 424-256-1729.
I mean, who would you guys rather hear that from? Your husband or your best friend?
The wig!
The wig will come off.
When the TV show is over, get your AfterBuzz on.
Okay, well, sorry about that commercial break, but we had some technical difficulty, which can happen when we have two of our hosts here in New York City, right where the Real Housewives film all of their drama.
But the Charlie's Angels are back.
So Jackie, Cindy, are you guys back on the Cindy? Jackie and Deidre, are you guys back on the line?
Deidre's here. Cindy's not.
Okay, so let's get back into Cindy and Ramona's apparent reconciliation. The Pinot Grigio issue rears its head once again, and basically, I don't even get Ramona's argument because I don't get the issue, but she said, this is what she was demeaning and condescending again, too, just like Sonia. She basically said, I wanted to do adult things, not child things. It was my husband's weekend away with me, and when you're married 18 years, you'll know. What did you think of that comment?
I was completely blindsided by that lunch because I was so impressed by Ramona's maturity at the Kelly and Sonia lunch. I was expecting the same level of not professionalism, but I guess, again, maturity with Cindy. I couldn't even watch that without cringing and feeling uncomfortable the whole time. The way that she was addressing her, taking little jabs at her, like you said, the marriage comment. You know, obviously Cindy would maybe like to be married, but that's not something that she has control over. Just not the way I would have handled a situation, and we saw it go up in flames completely at the end.
Right. I felt like on both sides, they were just miscommunicating. Like, I don't even get where, I don't think either of them got what they were trying to say. And I don't know if it was just the editing or not, but the whole thing was just awkward. And again, Ramona was condescending, and I don't know why Sonia, I'm okay with it. But then when Ramona does it, I'm just like, oh, here's Ramona again. So, you know, similar to Sonia, but for some reason, Ramona just doesn't get away with it.
Yeah, I thought the entire lunch was awkward, uncomfortable. Ramona ends up basically just getting up and leaving. Like, the whole... you're right, Deidre, like you were saying. I was shocked because she was so mature at her reconciliation lunch with Kelly. I expected the same here, but it was like from the second Cindy sat down, Ramona gave her that wide-eyed look and came out guns blazing.
Totally. And, you know, Cindy was trying to come from a place of maturity, and she was saying, look, what you did hurt my feelings. Now, a normal person's response would be, look, I'm really sorry. I never intended it to be that way. You know, I love you. You're my friend. I want to make this work. Ramona just kind of sits back with her hands crossed and goes, look, you don't like me? Then take it or leave it. Like, doesn't make any attempt to make the situation any more pleasant. And when Cindy goes, well, I'm not going to make you sit here if you're clearly, you know, looking at me like you have four heads, looking at me like I have four heads, Ramona takes that opportunity to get up and leave, which I think is just so rude.
Right, yeah. Ramona just came off really bad there, and I don't know if it was that Pino Polar thing coming out, but she just, you know, maybe had a glass before she got there and just seemed totally out of sorts, like in her own world. She didn't want to hear anything Cindy was saying. And, you know, she tried to make it like she wasn't trying to be rude, but you could tell that she was just, you know, getting up with no intention of reconciling with her.
And can we just remember?
Yeah, seriously, I am so seeing and getting this Pinot Polar now, because it's like, one lunch, she's great. The other lunch, she's crazy. She's Pinot Polar.
She really is. And my thing about it is that, you know, Cindy was sort of on the offense in this situation. Like, she was the one who should be receiving the apology from Ramona. Ramona was, like, ruining her birthday and by attacking Kelly and then attacking the brother. She should be apologizing to Cindy, but of course, you know, Cindy is the one who's, you know, trying to make sense of this situation by maturely discussing it all with Ramona. But Ramona, of course, is just Pinot Polar and not receptive to all this.
And I feel so bad for Cindy because, like, she threw a birthday party, and all women are so demeaning about this party and acted like it was the biggest deal to come down there, and the way she threw it. And it's like, I just feel like they're being so demeaning to her. It is like high school. It's like she's the new freshman on campus, and all the senior girls are hating her.
They are picking on her, and it's pretty ruthless. You know, calling it a kiddie party, saying, oh, I made the trek out to Quag to go. We didn't want to go, blah, blah, blah. You know, don't do me any favors. You don't have to come to my party if you don't want to come and if it's such an inconvenience for you. What did you think of that, Jackie?
No, I agree. Now, my only thing with Cindy is that she seems like she's, you know, not into playing the game. But I almost want her to play the game. You know what I mean? Like, she seems like she doesn't want to be around these ladies. But if she's going to be in the circle, then I'd want her to play the game a little bit more.
Totally. And if not, I think she's definitely replaceable. Would you guys agree with that?
I don't think so.
Why?
I don't know. I just think, who was that woman last season that was clearly totally replaceable?
The party planner lady. The one that they brought in
so
with Sonia.
Someone like that who gets in and doesn't stir up the drama is replaceable. But Cindy's right in the middle of the drama now, you know?
Yeah, I guess maybe the reason that I feel like she is replaceable is because she keeps trying to be mature about all this, and she seems to be pretty consistent with the way she handles things. Whereas, obviously, with the rest of the ladies, you never know what you're going to get with Jill. You never know what you're going to get with Ramona. So maybe that was the only reason why I would say that about Cindy. But who knows? Maybe she'll kick it up a notch in the next couple of episodes.
Right. Well, I mean, I think she's getting right into the drama.
Yeah,
but let's talk about someone else's reconciliation, which I think went a lot more smoothly, was Jill and Alex. So I'm going to give a little recap, and then I want both of your opinions on this. I personally think that Jill was pretty mature. She stuck her foot in her mouth a little bit in the beginning, saying that Alex, she gets better looking with age. But then basically she said, I miss our friendship. She said that she was angry last year, and she's crying and apologizing. Basically what she did was she claimed that Alex's husband was drinking, which hurt his business in Alex's opinion. And she apologized for that. She apologized for calling Alex's kids animals. And I thought that she handled it pretty well. What did you guys think?
I definitely thought that it was handled well. And like Alex said at the end of the conversation, it was the first time in a really long time that the two of them had a two-way conversation. The thing I liked most about this conversation particularly was how Alex was receptive to the apologies and Jill was open to giving them. And the way that this scenario went down is exactly how I would have liked to have seen the Ramona-Cindy scenario go down. I just think at the end of the day, if you're vulnerable like Jill and you open yourself up and you let the person know that you're being honest and sincere and you really want to make amends, the person on the receiving end is going to be more open to it, like Alex was. The complete polar opposite of what we saw with Cindy and Ramona prior. I mean, what did you think on that, Jackie?
I agree. This is an example of how it went right. You know, of course, at the end, it was a little like a high school workshop, I felt like, with them writing up the notes and burning them. Again, that high school reference.
Oh,
but
right.
At least it was for a good cause, you know. At least they did have a successful communication, and that's exactly what I think went wrong with Cindy and Ramona, is that they had miscommunication, and that's why it went wrong. Because actually, Ramona, the reason for their lunch was that Ramona called to apologize. So, you know, how did that come about the way it did? I don't know. But at least Jill and Alex were able to really talk it out.
And another thing that I really liked was Jill's just completely stripping of any mean girl behavior that we've seen in the past. And I did admire that she was cool breaking down in tears on camera, talking about how her husband was ill last year and how she was really upset about all the drama with Bethany. I thought that was a refreshing moment for Jill.
Right.
Yeah, I thought Jill really stepped it up here. And I'd have to say, you guys are saying, oh, we wish that the Cindy Ramona reconciliation had gone this way. But really, when it's The Real Housewives of New York, I love the drama. So I love when the reconciliations go up in flames.
Oh, of course.
And these girls had another thing go up in flames when they wrote on note cards what they were upset about, and then they burned it in flames, which was the end of the episode, I guess, a symbol of their peace, which I'm not sure how long that will last.
Yeah, I mean, they buried the hatchet, but that's just going to be until the next time Ramona makes some sort of a snide comment about Simon's snakeskin pants or Francois misbehaving. So, well, I guess we'll just have to see.
Right. Jill obviously doesn't stick to her word, so we'll have to see what happens.
So let's go to a quick commercial break before we get back into this week's news and gossip.
AfterBuzz TV News.
Or we can go right into the news, since we already had a commercial break. guys, let's talk about, first of all, last week we talked about Bethany and her $120 million empire because of her Skinny Girl brand. Well, Ramona rearing her big-eyed ugly head again. She recently said that Bethany is lying about how much money she's making off of her Skinny Girl Margarita line. I don't know if this is a Pinot Grigio versus Skinny Girl Margarita battle, and she's jealous. But basically, Ramona said, quote, she likes to exaggerate. It's rumored, remember. It didn't say fact. Rumored. And I think she said that because she's jealous that Skinny Girl Margaritas are making more money than Pinot Grigio.
Completely. I think this comes off as sour grapes to the 12th degree. It's your friend, or it used to be your friend. So just be happy for her that she got, you know, a nice chunk of change off of this deal. And don't go bad-mouthing her to the press. I think that is such a tacky move.
Right. Just celebrate the deal in the first place.
So let's get into our next bit of news and gossip. I love this because I love how even the outfits on the girl show are dramatic and become famous. But do you guys remember in episode 2, Alex wore this little S&M black dress to Sonia's party, and that's when Sonia kicked her out, and they were all basically bashing her manners and her fashion. So that dress is now famous, and Alex McCord donated the S&M dress to charity. Nolita Charity Shop, Go Ahead Shop for a Cause this week, and Luann and Kelly were there to support her.
Do we know how the dress did, if anybody purchased it for a pretty penny?
It didn't say how much it went for, but I'm guessing, I mean, that dress is famous now.
Oh, totally. That dress was quite the commotion and quite the star of the evening, so to speak, so I'm sure it was a big hit that night.
And I personally liked the dress. Jackie, what did you think, our fashion expert here?
I liked the dress, and I'm glad they did it without the shoes, because the shoes took it over the edge. The shoes made it too much. But I did like the dress.
Yeah, I thought it was, like, sexy, but she's younger, so she can pull that off. I thought she looked good, but that's just my opinion.
Completely. I think
but,
she has a great body, too.
Let's get into our predictions for next week, which I can't wait for all the drama. Basically, I think it's going to be more brunettes versus blondes starting to unfold. What do you guys think?
Yeah, it looks like Ramona's sex guys, or crazy eyes, whatever you want to call them, come out the whole episode. So Ramona will be leading a pack of blondes, sure, in this battle.
I think Ramona is really prevailing as the villain of this season, especially in the little clip that we got to see. She claims to be stirring the pot more and more each week, so I'm really eager to see what she's going to be up to next week.
And I want to know what exactly it is she said that made Jill is, like, literally bawling in Luann's arms at the end of that preview, and I'm just wondering what went down.
Who knows? Another day, another Pinot polar moment. She's like a loose cannon. You never know what sort of insults she's going to hurl your way. And sometimes I think they can be pretty offensive, as we saw Jill looking pretty upset. So I can't wait to see what it's going to be next week.
And Deidre, like you were saying before, you weren't sure if Cindy is dramatic enough. I think that she's bringing the drama next episode because apparently she's the only one who's willing to stand up against Ramona now. So I'm pretty excited about that.
I can't wait. I think that she's a smooth-talking downtown girl with a fiery mouth, and we'll see what sort of things that she's ready to go up against Ramona with. It'll be interesting to see how they fare against one another.
Okay, any last predictions before our send-off for next week?
I just want to comment on Sonia. She seems to be the little sex pot of the season. We see in a clip she's dressed in a scandalous Marie Antoinette costume. And her entire...
Oh, my God, you could totally see her butt in that one. I'm like, she cracks me up.
Yeah, and, like, we didn't really talk about it, but, you know, when she got asked to throw out the first pitch at that baseball game... You know, she was in a sexy little costume you would see somebody in their young 20s wearing at a Halloween party. To wear in the middle of the afternoon at, like, a charity event, or I believe it was a charity baseball game. a little inappropriate, but, you know, gotta love Sonya for taking the risk and owning it and feeling like, you know, a 20-year-old in her 40s.
You know, right, Jackie, I hope you can agree with me on this because you and I are Sonya lovers, but she still got it, right?
Right. You know, I was going to say, this week I was going to knock her. I mean, her outfit took Ramona's lunch outfit even further by being a little young and sexy to her. But, you know, she owned it, so I was giving her a pass, but I'm curious to see what happens next with that whole costume debacle.
Well, I can't wait to see all of the fashions and catch up on all the drama with you guys next episode. Thank you for co-hosting with me, and I'll talk to you after the next episode.
Bye,
and
girls.
That's it for your AfterBuzz TV Real Housewives.
From producers Kevin Undergaro and Phil Svitek, engineer DJ Jesse Janity, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. If you have questions or comments, be sure to buzz us at info@AfterBuzzTV.com. And you can find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter by searching for AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.